Okay, so make it short. Where are all your questions?
Okay. So you know, if questions, you can raise your hand or you unmute yourself. Who wants to start first?
First of all, find a very quiet town where there's not much going on. You understand? Find a quiet town. Sanit, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I can hear you.
So, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Find a quiet town where there's not much going on. Yeah. If you live in a big city, I mean, it is very difficult. Yeah. It's not impossible, but very difficult. Yeah? And then, start the day with meditation. Yeah, before you do anything else, you know, practice. Yeah? And then you go to work and do your things. You know, when you come back from work, yeah, do also meditation 1 hour. Yeah, and after that, do a little bit of reflection. Yeah? And in the evening, do another half an hour of meditation before you go to sleep. Yeah. This should give you quite a bit of a start. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So this first question. Dear sir, in the beginning of Anapanasati meditation, is it okay to name the breath in the mind using words to put labels on it, like begin, breathing out, pause between the breaths, beginning, end of the breath, long breath, short breath, and so on?
It is okay in the beginning, yeah, but I mean, if this goes on for half a year, you know, I mean, then you should stop it. Yeah? So in the beginning, it is okay. Yeah? I mean, and then more and more get to the knowing of it. Yeah? And the knowing is different from putting labels on. Yes, you can say the short is breath. The breath is short. Yeah, or the breath is disturbed, or the breath is detailed. Yeah? Just to get a handle to the knowingness. Yeah? Because the knowingness of the breath comes before, you know, you actually formulate it. Yeah? So it can be helpful, yeah, but don't do it too long. Okay?
Next question. Greetings, Ajahn. Can you please advise on how to work with arising pleasant feelings? I find myself struggling to understand if I should see them as impermanent and not get wrapped up in their pleasantness, or to let the feelings arise, continue to stay with the object, cultivating the pleasant and dropping contemplation of impermanence. I feel like the first way I accidentally drop the object by picking up a new one. Does this by chance depend on the type of meditation that you are doing? My primary practices are metta, breath, and death contemplation.
The answer to this is not easy, and it is not, well, one line. I mean, if you have a pleasant feeling, if you do anapanasati and the pleasant feeling arises, don't go to the pleasant feeling, just go with your anapanasati, go with the breath, yeah? Stay with the breath, and then what you will see is that the pleasant feeling actually increases. Yeah? The moment we go to the pleasant feeling, yeah, it might stay for a little while, yeah, but then it disappears, and then we want to have it back, and we can't get it back. About the others, you have to ask me again. I don't remember. Short memory.
Yeah. The others are metta and death contemplation.
Death is always a good contemplation. Always realize we can die any moment. Yeah. And what is, yeah? And what is dying? Yeah. It's not the citta that is dying. It's just the body that is dying. Yeah? And then after death, you know, comes a new birth. Yeah. We realize that. Yeah. Metta, yeah, I mean, if you're a serious practitioner, I wouldn't suggest it, yeah. If you just live in the world, that is okay, yeah. But don't spread out the metta, yeah. A lot of people, you know, I mean, produce a false kind of metta, what they think is metta. Yeah. Metta is there in our heart, yeah. We always know it, yeah. All what we do is invite the people to take part in it. Of the matter in our heart. And especially the devas will show us the way to our heart. I mean, it's much easier. You don't have to produce something and send it out, you know, what is very dominant in the Western cultures. Evolve everybody, you know, or envelop everybody, you know, in this kind of matter. This is just imagination. And it has nothing to do with real matter. Metta is in the heart. Yeah. And let the other people take part, you know, of the metta in your heart, you know, and then actually they will show you where it is. And it is quite different, yeah, from the one thing that we imagine. Okay?
So, I think she was just trying to clarify, like, when there's pleasant feelings, should we contemplate it as impermanent, or should we let it stay and not contemplate the impermanence of the pleasant feeling?
I thought I said to not to concentrate on the pleasant feelings, to concentrate on your anapanasati, but if you want to go on the pleasant feeling, yes, then of course impermanent, and things arise and things cease,
Next question. I ask this with respect, kindness, and curiosity. Can Ajahn please give his interpretation regarding the precept of not sleeping in tall or luxurious beds? Why do we have this precept? Does it hold any relevance today? Many thanks for your teachings.
I mean, this is something for the monks, you know, or for the lay people who stay in monasteries. Yeah? I mean, if you sleep in a luxury bed, yeah. I mean, think about, yeah, or the people here, yeah, how long do you sleep? 8 hours, 10 hours, yeah? If you just sleep on the floor, you know, I mean, you just sleep 4 hours, 6 hours, yeah, at most. Yeah? That is the whole reason, yeah? I mean, the more luxurious, you know, I mean, the softer your cushion is or the softer your mattress is, yeah? I mean, the longer you tend to sleep, yeah? And the more we sleep, you know, I mean, the more we ruin the practice of the day, of the day that we have done before, yeah? And that's the whole purpose of it. Yeah? And sleep on your side, yeah? I mean, 4 hours, yeah? I mean, I'm talking about, you know, people who live in the monastery, in the beginning maybe 5 hours, yeah? 4 hours, yeah? And then if you get really into going, you know, I mean, it's just 2 hours. You don't need a lot of sleep, yeah? Especially if you can rest in samadhi, yeah? That is more than sleep, yeah? Okay.
My next question. Understood? Is the word kilesa the same as karma or sankara?
Sorry?
Is the word kilesa the same as karma or sankara?
No. No. The kilesas are the fangs of avijja, yeah? That constantly, you know, you can think of the kilesas as the billboard that announce, you know, announces and announces, you know, try to lure us in doing this and try to lure us in doing that, yeah? I mean, the result of our action is karma, yeah? I mean, the results of our words, the results of our thoughts, and the results of our actions are karma, yeah? What was the other one?
Sankara.
Sankara is thought formation, yeah? It has, you know, I mean, it's just one part, yeah? So it has nothing to do, it has nothing to do with the kilesas. I mean, I emphasize it, yeah? The five groups, or the five khandhas, yeah? Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, yeah? Is a toolkit that either the kilesas can use, or the Dhamma can use. Yeah? It's neutral, it's completely neutral. It's not the kilesas, sankharas are not the kilesas, yeah? Or memory is not the kilesas, yeah? And the kilesas bring up the memory that, you know, entices us to do this or to do that, yeah? Or look for this or look for that. It's the same with the sankharas, or it's the same with the feelings, yeah? So, I mean, it's a toolbox, the five groups, the five khandhas are a toolbox, that both, you know, yeah? whoever sits on the throne, yeah? Nanda Mahabodh said that whoever sits on the throne has the full reign over the five khandhas, yeah? And he will use it. If it is avicca, yeah? And kilesas are the fangs of avicca, you know, are the soldiers, yeah? As I said before, you know, I mean, the soldiers are in three groups, yeah? The group of greed and hatred, yeah? These, we are most of us, you know, I mean, only face these kind of, yeah, kilesas, yeah? Of the group, of the, you know, battle, yeah? What is it, of the army of hate and army of greed, yeah? And then behind that, you know, is the army of delusion, yeah? And then, you know, when we fought, you know, fought all three armies, yeah? And there's nothing left of it, then we still have the mastermind, avicca, behind it, okay?
Okay, next question. About citta or knowingness, could it be similar as citta in the Abhidhamma Pitaka when it refers to mind movement? If citta is, or knowingness is the same as the citta in Abhidhamma, can kilesa be related to cetasika or mental factors that arise and cease together with the citta?
You asked the wrong person. Yeah? I have not the slightest idea about Abhidhamma. I never studied it. Yeah? The citta. Yeah? All what I can say is about the citta. Yeah? The Dhamma, yeah, is within the citta, and the kilesas avicca is within the citta. Yeah? And all the mental factors, you know, are within the citta. Yeah? Yeah? Only it doesn't hold true for the arahant because there are no more mental factors in the citta. Yeah? I mean, he has completely liberated his citta. There's nothing there anymore. The mind movements over whatever, you know, they either come out, you know, through the Dhamma or they come out through the kilesas or through avicca. Yeah? And that's all what I can say. I mean, Abhidhamma. Abhidhamma was taught to the devas who can recognize, yeah. it's so fast, yeah. I mean, how many mind moments are, 3,000 mind moments are, you know, in one blink of an eye? Yeah? I mean, it's only the devas, you know, at the highest level who can recognize it. So the Lord Buddha was teaching the Abhidhamma to these people, to these devas, yeah. He wasn't teaching the Abhidhamma to the humans who cannot fathom it, yeah. Just as a reminder. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Next question. Beloved,
because it makes our mind, you know, I mean, really go around, yeah? It's a merry go-around, yeah? when we study the Abhidhamma, oh, yeah. And it's completely opposite to practice. Okay? Next.
Okay. I have been meditating and I can't tell if I'm practicing right, but I'm trying to make it a consistent practice. Any advice on how I can see if I'm doing it correctly or if there is progress. Thank you.
I mean, depends on what we think it is progress. Huh? If we do it correctly, yeah? If we wake up in the morning, yeah, and say, okay, our buddho or our breath, that is the main focus until we go to sleep. Yeah? And as long as we are on the focus, and whenever the mind goes out, we bring it back. Yeah? That, of course, doesn't hold true, you know, when we go to work and have to think, sit in front of a computer, that is impossible. But all the time when you go, you know, when you go shopping, you know, you can always do that. Eh? You can always stay with the Buddha or you can stay with the breath. And that is the correct practice. Eh? And as I said, the most... The most fruitful thing is the daily reflection in around the evening, yeah. Making a daily reflection of what happened during the day, yeah. And see the things that went well or see the things that did not go well. Yeah? And then you know you're on the right track, yeah. It is very easy, yeah. even here in the morning, say, am I with my Buddha? No? Okay, then I go back to my Buddha, yeah? That is the correct thing. Am I with the breath? No. Then I go back to the breath. That is the correct thing. And if I do investigation, am I with my investigation object? That didn't, yeah. I mean, before I do investigation, I set up my mind, you know, to investigate this object. Yeah? And as long as I'm with this object, I mean, everything is fine. Yeah? And the results will come. Yeah? But don't expect them to come within 2 or 3 weeks. Eh? It really depends on how much effort you put into it. Eh? I mean, the more effort you put into it, eh? I mean, the faster the result will come. Eh? It is, you know, it's the same. Eh? I mean, if you walk slowly from one city to other, you know, I mean, you will reach, you know, in a certain amount of time. But if you run to the other city, you know, I mean, then of course you're faster than that. Eh? And so the more practice you do, eh? I mean, if it is 12 and 14 hours a day, you know, I mean, then you get some progress. Eh? But even then, you know, it takes time. So don't expect, yeah? And don't look back, where is the result? I don't have any results, you know, I mean, it's fruitless. No. Eh? The results are so small, sometimes so small, you know, we don't even realize it. Only when we look back, you know, after 1 year, we see, these things have changed. I didn't get upset so easily, or this didn't happen anymore, and so this didn't happen anymore. Okay?
Okay. Next question. What is the Buddhism point of view on psychology?
What?
On the Buddhist point of view on psychology.
Psychology?
I think so.
What is the point of view of psychology on Buddhism? Psychology, yeah. It's such a vast, when you think about Erich Fromm, who was one of the Chicago psychologists. I mean, he was very close to Buddhism. Yeah? I mean, I think his last book was Zen Buddhism and... what was it? And psychology... whatever. So, anyway. Yeah? No, I mean, psychology is a very, very, very small part. Yeah? I mean, in Buddhism. Buddhism is there to understand yourself. Yeah? You don't need anybody else to tell you what is going on in you. Huh? I mean, when somebody analyzes you, yeah? I mean, think about this person, you know, has still his own ideas, has still his own bias, you know, and he will put all these bias into your analysis. Yeah? So, I mean, sometimes it can be helpful, yeah? But sometimes it's just the contrary, yeah? Buddhism is complete analysis of yourself, yeah? I mean, you see what is going on in your heart, yeah? You don't need to ask anybody what is going on in your heart. Huh? Oh? You know it. It it might be helpful, you know, for people who are completely unstable and who cannot meditate, then this might be helpful, yeah. But otherwise, I saw when I went, when was that? I think 91, when I was in England, yeah. I saw the pickles running to psychoanalysts, and then I said, what the hell is going on? It's completely wrong. And there was the Buddhist, yeah, I mean 91, that is long, long time ago, 30 years or what? Yeah, pretty much 30 years. And they had all these Buddhist psychology and so on. No, I don't agree with this. Yeah. I mean, if you want to understand yourself, you know, just get into your heart, you know, and you will see everything. It's open there. Yeah. And if you're a kind of strong person, you know, I mean, you can deal with all these things. Yeah. Okay?
Next question. Can the Venerable give practical advice against the five hindrances?
Yes. Don't fall for them. When you see them coming up, yeah? I said, no, yeah? I mean, refuse them, yeah? When you see sloth and torpor coming up, you know, you refuse it. You said, okay, let's do some work, yeah? Let's do walking meditation, yeah? When you see tiredness coming up, yeah, then you go against it. You have to go against the grain, yeah? That's all what I can say, yeah? I mean, that. The only thing that you can do is about the five hindrances, yeah? I mean, the more you go for the five hindrances, you know, the sooner or later you will end up in hell, yeah? Because they don't lead you to good things, yeah? Yeah, overcoming the five hindrances will lead you to good things, yeah? And Thai, it's kayanman plin, yeah? To be, yeah? To, what is that in English? He doesn't know. You know, kayanman kriyan, to be vigorous, yeah, to be enthusiastic, you know, with your practice, yeah, and not to give up, you know, just because of some problems that you face. Okay, that's all what I can say.
Dear Ajahn, can you please advise how can we be mindful while eating our meals? I tend to be lost in the sense of taste and enjoying food, and it's hard to be mindful. Should I be mindful about the eating process, such as chewing, swallowing, etc., or should I be just aware of the sense impressions that arises? Many thanks.
Be aware of the sense impression. Being aware of when you swallow the food, yeah, this is the most difficult thing. Yeah? Be aware of the taste. And especially, I mean, before you grab the first bite, yeah, know that you grab the first bite, yeah, and be aware of the plan, yeah, that you already laid out, what kind to eat and how much to eat, yeah, because it's already, you know, you see the food and the plan is already there, yeah. Be aware of this, yeah, and then counteract this plan. That's pretty much, it is the most difficult thing, yeah. So I mean, don't get disheartened by it. Huh? I mean, and do after you eat food, after you have eaten food, you know, try to do a short reflection. What happened? Yeah. And especially go for the taste. Yeah. Go for the seven tastes. Yeah. Salty, salty, bitter, and what sweet and whatever. Yeah. And see it in any kind of food. There is this. There is the same sorts of taste there. Sometimes it's mixed more, you know, sometimes it's sweeter, and sometimes it's more bitter, and sometimes it's more oily, and so on. Yeah. Be more aware of this, yeah. Okay?
Okay. Next question. Dear Ajahn, it is said that chanting gives rise to merits. Example, chanting Itipiso 108 times. Can Ajahn please advise how can we gain merits by chanting? Is it that we need to internalize the meaning of each chant, or we understand mindfully? Thank you, Ajahn.
You asked the wrong person. I mean, what I know about chanting is it gives, you know, it gives a certain calmness of the mind. And that's why, you know, there are some protection chants, there are this kind of chants. But I'm personally not into it, yeah. I'm not a person who is really much into chanting. So I mean, you ask the wrong person. But what I know from chanting is that it calms the mind. If you do the evening chant or the morning chant, and after that you sit down and practice, it is much more, it's much better, it's much easier to do. That's all what I know.
Okay, Ajahn. So I think we can go to the people who raised hands. Sajalka, you want to go ahead? Are you around?
Yeah. Yes, I am. I hope you can hear me. Thank you, Ajahn. That before I ask my question, I would like to say that I myself have been sleeping on the floor in a sleeping bag for the better part of the last 2 years,
yeah,
and have not gone back to a full-blown bed.
Mm.
And as Ajahn said, it actually has helped me immensely. That is immense in terms of sitting meditations at home, and also the when I get up, and the amount of dreaming and all those things are significantly actually reduced, and I'm not going to go back to a real bed for the rest of my life.
Nope.
So that's one thing. Mm. And another thing, of course, connected to the practice is good, and I have listened to him quite intently, and so cut down on the food intake in the afternoon or something whenever I can, and that also helps. So the people who are trying to think about the giving up on the bed or compromise on it, I think that's a good decision to do. So that is the first part of just my comment. My question to Ajahn would be that in one of your discourses or talks that you gave before, that you kind of in a nice way discouraged people to suddenly or ordain, and now then you said that in your monastery it is possible for the lay practitioners, the older people also can actually come and join in and, mm-hmm. and live there and keep the precepts and stay there. So I would like to know that is it on your the monastery website, or where can I find the details of that, and what is required of the people who are thinking about doing that? So like lay out the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the things that I can see and read and see what needs to be done. Thank you. That's my question.
I mean, first of all, I mean you have to realize what it takes you to come to Thailand. Then if you're in the monastery, I mean, you are just required to keep the 8 precepts and practice. That's right. Yeah. I discourage, you know, from people, you know, become monks, because I mean, most of them, yeah, I mean, they take off the robes after 3 months, you know, and we have to train them. And that's what I don't want. Yeah? I mean, if you're lay people, you lay person, you can come and go anytime you wish to. Yeah. Yeah? And we don't have to put you through training. We just have to let you a few things to know, you know, what is proper and what is not proper in the monastery. Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
Where are you from? I'm
from Silver Spring, Maryland, USA.
What?
From the East Coast. From Maryland, USA.
Oh, Maryland.
USA. Wow. United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. John, you want to go ahead?
Hello, Bond. I've been thinking it's very important for me to start doing more body contemplation and spending more time during the day in that. I just started. So the other day I did walking meditation for an hour, and I was reciting the first 5, you know, head of the hair, the body, and I was just reciting it, but I felt like, well, I should be visualizing also. And the monks, they chant the 32 parts, but are they visualizing at the same time the parts? So I want to know where to start. I figure a few hours a day I can work on that. Should I stay with the five parts? Should I be visualizing and seeing them as repulsive? Can you give me some
advice on where to go
with my body concentration?
I mean, we do remember the 32 parts of the body, yeah? And then, for investigation, yeah, we take one of the parts, just one, and then we visualize it. Yeah? Yeah? And please, you don't have to make it repulsive. Yeah? It is repulsive. just look.
Sometimes
yeah?
I don't see it.
Now just look. Just look at the food, you know, that goes into your mouth, yeah? And then the old food that comes out of your body, yeah? That is not repulsive?
That part is.
Yeah.
See,
and if you open your stomach, you know, I mean, after you ate a nice meal, yeah, and then you start to open your stomach, you know, and all this, this smell, you know, and disgusting smell, and disgusting, you know, so you find it repulsive, yeah? And that is one thing that we have to remember. We will find it repulsive. I mean, you just do a little, there are so many exercises you can do. You spit in your hand, yeah? The thing that you have 24 hours a day in your mouth, yeah? And then 5 minutes later you want to lick it up, yeah? It is repulsive, yeah? We have it all our day, yeah, in our mouth, you know, and all the things that are in the body, you know, be it the blood or be it, you know, the the poos or things like that that come out of the pores or yeah, or whatever. I mean, it is repulsive to us. That's why we wash ourselves every day, yeah, to get rid of it. Yeah, I mean, if you don't wash your hair, you know how would it like? Yeah, I mean, it's disgusting. Yeah, and we don't feel very well, you know, if the body is dirty. Yeah. And where does the dirt come from? Not from outside, sometimes from outside, but most of the time from inside. So that's what you want to look at, yeah? I mean, you can take any. Lungta Mahabho said, yeah? I mean, when we make investigation of the body, yeah? We can go through the 32 parts of the body, yeah? And then take the one that interests us the most, yeah? And with this, we stick, yeah? And then we visualize it, yeah, until it really becomes very clear. Yeah? That takes long, long time. Yeah? Don't expect it to happen tomorrow. We visualize it, you know, with our internal eyes until it becomes very clear. And then we do all sorts of things. We cut it up, you know, we look at the consistency of it, you know, and whatever you want, yeah. Put some fire under it and see, you know, how it burns. And the next time you take another part, yeah. It doesn't make sense, you know, to remember all the 32 parts of the body, yeah? We want to understand one part, the essence of one part, yeah? And the next time, the essence of this part, yeah? And then later on, if we have taken a lot of parts, different parts of the body, yeah? And we analyze the essence of it, we see it's all the same. It's the four elements. It's made out of the four elements, right? Yeah? Okay, understood?
Okay. Thank you.
So, I think the last question from Carlos, can you unmute yourself?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Can you?
Okay. And good morning. Well, good evening to you, Darian.
Whatever.
And I'm here from USA, so it's 3:30. Tanajan, I've been undertaking celibacy for a few years now, with somewhat successfully, especially in this present year. Before I was, you know, I was having the idea that we commonly have on the West, not expressing yourself or having sexual relationships that will create like a steam, like, you know, like a pressure within you, and you have to release it and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I abandoned that idea because I, for some reason I was feeling, years before, I was kind of like feeling that. I'm not sure if it was like a psychosomatic thing, you know, like a reaction or something in my mind or anything. I let go of that idea, and I'm finding now easier, and I don't really feel that pressure. Okay. I'm not sure if it's because I've been meditating more or... Anyway, my question to you, Tanajan, is what can you advise to me regarding celibacy?
I mean, it keeps you out of a lot of trouble.
Oh, yes.
that's one thing for sure, yeah?
So, I learn myself, falling and
having the trouble. That's the thing, yeah? I mean, you said the steam that is building up, yeah? When you see the steam building up, yeah? Take any book, you know, that has, you know, disgusting pictures of the body, yeah? And the moment you look at these disgusting pictures of the body, the steam will disappear. Because our steam, our sexual arousement is always placed on pictures, yeah? So if you turn these pictures, yeah, into something that is disgusting, the steam will go instantly, yeah? Everything will drop, yeah? Then of course, you know, through our thoughts and through our imagination, it will come back, and then we do it again, and then again, and then again, yeah? And over the time it will become less and less, yeah? So that's how you can handle the steam, yeah? But overall, you know, I mean, yes, it is a good thing, yeah? You don't have to do it, you know, but if you do meditation more and more, and especially if you do reflection, yeah, in the evening, I mean, then there is no need for these things, yeah? Okay?
Because I've been practicing Asubha, and actually downloaded and printed the Tanajan Mahabhu's book.
Yeah.
And it helps to some extent. But I still struggle when I see, you know, female. It is there, is the attraction.
Yeah.
I'm better now. I catch myself like instantly, and I start to, you know, tell my mind, well, this is just flesh, and it's disgusting, and it is actually, and it comes down, but still. The impulse is really strong.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you catch yourself looking at a beautiful woman, you know, I mean, just take the skin off, yeah. Learn this, you know. I mean, it is very helpful. Learn to take the skin off a person, you know, and it will be without interest to us, yeah. Of course there will be situations, you know, I mean, it will take some time, you know, I mean, especially, this is one of the worst things, yeah, raga tanha, or sensual desire, this is the strongest, so, I mean, be patient, yeah. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tanya.
Are you okay with one more question? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Sadhya, where are you, sir?
I'm actually referring to Carlos's reference to the book that's actually available online, Lungta Mahapua's book on Asubha. But the one that I found out was actually only in Thai script, and I wonder if somebody has translated that book. And also one more thing I noticed from the same book, and again, if you look at the pictures, then you will see the person who, when he is young, and how he's progressively getting old, you know, like a young, beautiful woman, how she's becoming an older lady. Mm. And so if you look at these things, and at the same time you think about the desire, then it does fall off. And that particular, the PDF file also have folks on the surgeon's table, the skull taken open and everything, and so they are actually, if you would like to say that, the repulsive or disgusting or whatever it is. Okay, so having said that, the counterpoint which comes to my mind like a devil's advocate is that and this is not my original thinking, that what about the surgeons who do this opening up the bodies, the people who work in the mortuaries who open up the bodies day in and day out as a living, and they do not suddenly become wise and spiritually elevated in the Buddhist way. Isn't that a like a little bit of a question in my mind? Why doesn't it happen? Why does they keep on living like that, maintain the exterior appealing skin box, or what do you call it, as the pillow, you know, of this body, and still be attracted to that functioning?
First of all, these surgeons never operate on their own wife. They couldn't touch this wife anymore if they open up their own wife. So they asked a friend to do the operation on her. Yeah. The other thing is, what I notice with doctors, yeah, I mean, the first time they open up a corpse, I mean, they either fall unconscious, yeah, or they'll throw up. Yeah. And after that, with each time, they get used to it and block it away. Yeah. So what I notice is with doctors, yeah, who come here to the meditations, who come here to the monastery and want to practice a supa, it is very difficult for them to practice a supa, yeah, because they all put it away. It is behind a big block of wall, yeah, I mean steel wall, yeah, and to get through to it, you know, takes a long time. I mean, they have to, just like policemen who investigate murder, you know. I mean, if there's a fouling object, you know, a fouling corpse, you know, somewhere, they have to put that away, otherwise they couldn't live, yeah. So, that's how they deal with it, yeah.
Yeah, I understand it. Thank you very much, Ajahn. Thank you very much. I never thought it like that. Thank you.
Okay, so, more questions, or I hear some questions? From the Mechis, or? No? From? No? You're all happy, you know, practicing? More or less? Sleeping? Less than? more than less? Okay. Yeah. And then, if there's nothing else, then let's finish it up. Yeah, okay? Sunny?
Yes. Thank you, Tajit, for
There's nothing.
There's session for us today.
You're welcome.
Let's offer respects to Tajit together. Tajit, I hope you feel better, sir.
Yeah, tomorrow it's gone. It was just one hard day, one tough day.
Yeah, that's all.